This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. Japan, the nation that brought us fads like Pokemon and karaoke, has another obsession. This fad, though, is something that's been around for a long time, ramen noodles. There are magazines devoted to these bowls of soup. There are ramen theme parks, even a ramen museum. Producer Andy Raskin discovered at a unique restaurant in Tokyo that ramen is sometimes more than just a bowl of noodles.
When I tell people what goes on at the Tokyo noodle soup restaurant called Ramen Jiro, they sometimes say, "What is this, like the soup Nazi?" And I say, "No, this is not like the soup Nazi." The soup Nazi withholds soup from customers he doesn't like. But can the soup Nazi teach you how to realize your full potential? Can the soup Nazi show you how to prepare yourself for a seemingly impossible challenge? Can the soup Nazi make you a legend? I first heard about Ramen Jiro from my friend Masa, who grew up in Japan and now lives in California. Masa remembers that when he was a freshman in college, an upperclassman took him to Ramen Jiro and told him what to do and what not to do. Above all,
there is no way you leave any single piece of noodle or soup. You have to eat the whole thing. Otherwise, you're going to basically insult this owner. But it's so huge, very big. Regular chashu men in Japan, you have kind of thin pork. But he put this very thick pork. Already noodle, it's a humongous amount. And this soup is basically soy sauce-based soup, but it has a lot of the pork, you know, lard stuff.
Lard?
Lard, yeah. And it's so greasy. So first time you eat, you get sick, actually. But same day, midnight, you start to feel like, oh my god, I want to eat that again. I want to eat that again. So next day, you just got run, and you eat it, and it's like, what the heck I was thinking about? This is crazy. I don't want to do that. Then you just keep on going this cycle, and finally, you're so addicted.
Masa says the moment of truth in every Jiro visit is when you give your order. There are only two items on the Jiro menu, small and large. What Masa's been talking about so far is the small. Websites devoted to Jiro advise novices not even to think about a large. But there's plenty of time to ponder this decision, because the wait to get in is always at least 40 minutes. When you reach the entrance, a gray-haired, big-bellied man looks up from his vat of simmering pig carcasses and says,
"Nani, nani, nani." Then you go like either "shou" or "dai," meaning a small or a large. And that is actually sometimes very difficult decision to make, and you have to make it very quick, because even if you made up your mind that, oh, there's no way I can eat large today, but you know, after sitting there in front of him cooking for like 5-10 minutes, you go like, maybe I can eat it, maybe I can eat it. So when you're in that mode, you're in trouble, because he all of a sudden comes, "What? Nani? Nani?" Then he goes, "Die!" And you say, "Large!" And you go, "Oh, what the hell did I do? I can't eat it." But sometimes it happens. So you're always under pressure and you have to just wait. It's like somebody's going to ask a tricky question and you have to be prepared. You're always like waiting. And
it sounds like sometimes you just don't know what you're going to do.
Sometimes you don't, because you're so confused.
Success starts with knowing yourself, and to do that, you have to know your limitations. That means coming face-to-face with failure. Masa will never forget the first time it happened to him.
After I finished like 1/3 of the noodle, I started feeling like I should go to the bathroom. And there's a bathroom, actually. Nobody used that bathroom.
Because it's just too embarrassing to go
it's
there?
It's too embarrassing, and everybody's waiting, right? And you already have noodle. I started slowing down because I couldn't finish it. So I was like, oh my god, how can I get out of this place? So I basically put the pork underneath of the noodle, at least trying to hide those things. Then I just gave that bowl on top of the counter and, "Thank you very much, I'm sorry," and just run away, and couldn't go back there like 3-4 months, because I was so traumatized that I couldn't even finish it. What if it happens again and again? So I couldn't really go back.
Some people never recover from a setback like that, but when Masa admitted his failure to other Jiro regulars, he learned that many had encountered similar problems. So they banded together to figure out how to improve their game. That's how Masa learned the importance of conditioning.
You can't have the big breakfast, obviously, but you can't go there without anything in your stomach. The consensus with my friends was the best thing to have is the fruit. And this one guy, he tried a lot of different fruits every time he goes. He said the best thing is the Asian pear. Worst thing is a banana. Don't even try banana. That really just stick in your stomach, so don't even try that. So every time we go to Jiro, in the morning we eat the pears and just feel like, okay, I think I'm good. And go there and eat it. And so if you finish the show double like nothing, you kind of regret. It's like, I should have tried dai.
And if the day arrives when you feel like you're in the best shape of your life, when you feel lucky, there is the ultimate ramen gyro challenge, mem mashi. Mem means noodles, and mashi means extra. It's not on the menu.
When you order mem mashi, it's like, you know, some message is delivered, conveyed all over the place. Oh, somebody ordered mem mashi. Really, really, I want to see. So everybody's watching. So you're like a hero now. So what happens is, so you start with dai double. And when you finish like a 40-50% of noodle, then this owner said, okay, here we go. So he cooked the like a 50% additional noodle and pour it in your bowl. It's out of control. If you eat the whole thing, people goes like, oh my god, this guy's unbelievable. I've never ever tried that one. I heard there's this junior high school boy who is looked like a sumo wrestler already. This guy's always come and eat the mem mashi every time. He's like a legend, but I have never personally seen this, you know, boy, but he always nail it.
Not long after talking to Masa, I found myself in Tokyo, standing in line at Ramen Gyro. I have a recording of myself slurping, then moaning, then belching to relieve the pain, but I'll spare you. I ordered a large, and when the owner saw my empty bowl, he looked me in the eye and said, arigato, thank you. Masa says the owner never thanks first-timers, and that in the world of Ramen Gyro, I am now like a god. 2 months later, I learned that my gallbladder was infected and had to be removed. My surgeon isn't sure there's a connection, but his orders are a low-fat diet from here on out. I can't go back to Ramen Gyro, but if you go, I recommend the small. And be careful. When you reach the front of the line, you may find yourself supersizing your ambition. What you do then depends on how you balance your fear of failure with your desire to do something so great that somebody thinks, man, this guy is unbelievable. That's always a tough decision. And no, you won't learn anything about making it from the Soup Nazi.
That story from Andy Raskin, who's senior writer at the magazine Business 2.0.